Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, the votes have been cast. The decision is unanimous. No, I'm not talking about the race for president between Trump and Clinton. I'm talking about today's gospel lesson and the parable that Jesus teaches. See, the votes are in. It is the most difficult parable in all of the Bible. In fact, I would say it's so difficult that many commentators completely bail. They won't even touch it. We have absolutely no idea what Jesus is talking about. I read a professor out in Portland. I get his weekly pastoral sermon helps. I kind of look and he provided five different ways that he can go about it the wrong way. And at least a half a dozen you could try the other way. And after reading all that, I decided that maybe I shouldn't preach on this text after all. I could actually preach on the Timothy text about women shouldn't be pastors. And I thought, well, maybe that's not it either. So I backtracked and ended up right where I'm at. See, the problem is ours. The problem isn't God's. You see, the fact of the matter is we see, but we don't see. We hear God's word, but yet then we don't hear it. So what's the problem? You see, from our perspective, the reaction of the manager is completely and utterly ridiculous. If you steal from me, you should not be commended. You should be fired with effect. In other words, you should be placed in the prison or in confinement until you can repay all of your debt, but not here. The master goes out of his way to commend the unrighteous or the dishonest manager for trying to make friends by cutting the amount that the debtors owed the master. Let me give you some perspective. The first one comes in and says, what does the master owe you? Well, he owes me 100 measures of oil, which is about 870 gallons. He says, sit down as if it were 50. And another one, he asked him what he owed, and in a similar fashion, he discounted his debt because he wanted a safe place to land after he was fired. When the manager is done dealing with all of the master's debtors, after he has thoroughly cooked the books, he gives it over to the master. And the amazing part, when the master sees it, the master commends him for being, he uses the word shrewd, acknowledging that he acted according to the ways of the world. In fact, he says these words, the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. So what do you think? Easy peasy lemon squeezy, isn't it? This is a text every pastor should dive right into the middle of. But then Jesus complicates it more by saying the words, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Let me tell you a story. In the 15th century, there's this Italian guy by the name of Niccolo Machiavelli. And he is noted for telling his prince that the ends justify the means. Have you ever heard that before? The ends justify the means. In other words, you can do whatever you want as long as you end up where you want. So if you want a promotion, talk about the other candidate behind their back. Spread rumors, gossip, you're in. Nope, you get the job, right? If you want a raise, look good when the boss is around, but when he's not around, don't worry about it. The ends justify, as long as you get the raise, who really cares? Sometimes the means we use are a little bit nasty, a little bit ugly, always self-serving, but in the end, as long as you get what you want, kudos to you. It is all fair game. Do what you gotta do to get what you want. After all, don't you have to break a few eggs to make omelets? Don't ask me how they make hot dogs. You don't want to know. Just eat the hot dog, enjoy it. Especially as the Oregon fan told me yesterday, the red ones are good ones. Speaking of Wimmers, the ends always justifies the means, at least according to this Italian. But not surprisingly, this well-known and often accepted and sinful saying is a guiding principle in which you and I look at understanding God's word. See, we like filtering God's word through this Machiavelli dude. Case in point today, today's gospel is about that dishonest manager who's actually commended for his dishonesty. See, the ends justify the means. That's the whole point, right? Jesus teaches us in this parable that the manager is lax in his duties. In other words, he's not a good manager. What should you do with somebody who's not a good manager if you're the boss? You should fire them. After all, who wants an unrighteous and dishonest manager in charge of all of your wealth? If you're not doing your job, if you're basically stealing from your employer by collecting a paycheck without doing anything in return, you kind of deserve to get fired. But the problem in all this was not that the boss was going to fire the lazy manager. That's not the problem. That was only just and right. The real problem, in fact, is that the owner gives the manager a heads up. He tells him, I'm going to take away your managership, before he actually boots him out of the office. Some of that you that have worked for larger corporations realize when people get fired, they bring in the security, right? And they tell you you're fired and they usher you out of the building. You don't get to take anything but maybe your pencil holder with you. That's it. You are completely removed before you can destroy, copy, or somehow interfere with the business that's taking place there. But not in this case. He warns the manager that he's being fired, and so the manager has plenty of time to think about exactly what he wants to do. My question this morning is, what is our Lord trying to teach us with this parable? Is he really trying to teach us it's okay if you're dishonest as long as you get what you want in return? Like, if you're a confirm man today, just kind of cheat on your sermon notes and in class, like copy off everybody else in the quiz. It's okay. And cut and paste for the reports you got to write. Pastor, as long as you're confirmed, does it really matter? The answer, yes, it does. I think it's helpful to understand the context of this parable before we go any further. The parable that's right before it is the parable of the prodigal son. Remember the story? The prodigal son demands his inheritance from his father, and then he goes into a foreign land and blows it all by loose living. The parable right after this parable is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man is lavish living, and Lazarus is a poor, helpless beggar, and the rich man will give him not even the crumbs from his table. And the bottom line, the rich man dies and goes to hell. But the rich man says, please warn my brothers. Warn my brothers so they don't have the same fate that I do. So from the end of chapter 15 of Luke's gospel all the way to chapter 16 where we're at today, there's three parables that deal with money. That is money, and in particular the abundance thereof. But it isn't really the central teaching of what Jesus is talking about at all. What's the point of the parable of the prodigal son? The whole point of the parable is the generosity of the father. Prodigal means lavish. The father lavishes son with his love and his mercy in spite of all that he had done. The parable that followed is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man's not sent to hell, and he's not condemned because he's rich. He's condemned because he did not listen to the words of the prophets and the apostles. You get the context? Let's go back. Let's look at the parable of the dishonest manager. For it is true that the sons of this age are indeed more cunning in what they do in their dealings than any of the sons of light. The dishonest manager is not bound by the same moral compass as you and I are. He's not bound by the same standard of God's word that says you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you are to love your neighbor as yourself. This manager, for him, it doesn't apply. Admittedly, his plan is pretty ingenious, isn't it? I'm going to get fired. So what can I do to make my golden parachute and land a little more softly? I know exactly what I'll do. I'll reduce the debt of all the debtors. And when I'm fired, I'll have somewhere to go so I'm not living in the streets because I'm not strong enough to dig ditches. And I'm certainly... I will not be humiliated to sit with the sign in the hay mark that says anything will help. Give me money. As a son of light, we understand two important points of the master, don't we? The first of all, your master is exacting. Every single detail is written down about you. Your sins of thought, word, and deed, he has every single one of your debts recorded. Oh, he's exacting. His expectations of you are off the charts. For Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And as we look at God's law, we begin to understand of exactly how far in debt we are. Our thoughts, our words, and our deeds are all scarred with our sin. That's who we are. Our God is exacting, and it scares us to death. Because he knows everything about us. And we know that the wages of sin is death, and we know that payday is coming. But the second thing we must understand about our master is that he is also merciful and forgiving. And that's the thing that stuck out to me like a sore thumb in this text. See, the reality of the matter is, in the Near Eastern commentaries, they'll tell you something that most of us Americans don't understand. That manager should have been held accountable and placed in prison until he could pay back every single cent that he owed the master. But he didn't do it. Instead of condemning him, he commends him. We don't understand that. Pastor, he stole from him. He took what wasn't his. As I read through that text, it seemed to me as if the master's manager knew that's exactly how the master would respond. He knew the master would be gracious and merciful. And so therefore, he squandered the wealth of the master, realizing in the end that the master wouldn't hold him accountable. It doesn't make any sense, does it? It doesn't make any sense at all. Our God is merciful and forgiving. It is true that he demands perfection of every single one of us. And when we look into the mirror of God's law, we find out that we're far less than perfect. In fact, there's grounds for all of us to be fired on the spot. Our master calls us to live a perfect and righteous life. But sad to say, we fall painfully short. My dear friends in Christ, this is the lesson our Lord and Savior is still teaching us today. That we need to trust in Him. To trust in His grace and His mercy, for it is
certain. Our God is a God of His Word. How can I say such a thing? It's easy. Just look at the cross. Seeing the weight of your sin, the Father sent forth His own Son to be the perfect manager, to handle all the affairs of the Father to absolute perfection. Then ultimately to be crucified on the cross of our sin. You know, we often say the verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son," which is true. But do you know what that means? For those of you who have children, and even those of you who don't, think of what that means to sacrifice your own flesh and blood for the sins of people that fall painfully short of who God has called them to be. That Machiavelli character, we turn it all on its head. He says the ends justify the means. I tell you that there's means that justify. The means are the shed blood of Christ. When He said upon the cross, "It is finished, your debt has been paid, it has been taken away." The time will come when you'll ask the same question as the dishonest manager: "What shall I do? I have not been faithful with the things the Master has called me to do. I have to admit it. I have not loved Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I certainly have not loved my neighbor as myself. What shall I do? I'm too weak to make right the wrongs which I've done. And I'm too ashamed at times to admit how painfully wrong I truly am. What shall I do?" My dear friends, this morning I want to remind you that you have a Heavenly Father who forgives. No matter what the depth of your sin is, no matter what it is, there is not a sin that Christ's blood does not cover. In a way, just like the dishonest manager, it's time for us to lean upon the forgiveness and the mercy of our Heavenly Father. For He, by virtue of His life, His death, and resurrection of His only Son, will give us what we don't deserve. Therefore, I encourage you this morning to come and receive the means through which you are justified. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.